This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Thursday, I am back. Did you miss me last night? I missed you, even though I had a blast at the Tucker Carlson live event, being, of course, the headliner that I am. I'll talk a little bit about that at some point during the show, but we're not going to focus too much on me. We have to talk about other things. Are they getting ready to raise taxes? Oh, it's coming, either now or at some point in the near future. We will discuss that actually here in just a couple moments. Some more things are coming out about the assassination attempt on Trump, about the culture of assassination I've been talking about this week on the show. We'll discuss that. Border things, economic things. They're not toning down any kind of a rhetoric. A bunch of emails. That, and we have a guest-heavy show. Very, very rare tonight. I normally don't do any guests. We have three of them tonight, including BK and Chip Roy. We're going to ask Congressman Chip Roy. He's one of the few decent people there. What's going on with the budget stuff? All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before I get to this story about Mitch McConnell, I'll just go ahead and give the game away. Mitch McConnell, behind the scenes, this is a story courtesy of the Daily Signal. Behind the scenes, Mitch McConnell is discussing raising taxes. Raising taxes. Now, before we get to the specifics of that, remember the people who run the country. It's not just Democrats either. It's every Democrat and almost every Republican in leadership positions. What are they? They are system servants. They serve the system, meaning their loyalty is not to you. It's certainly not to the country. It's not that they think those kind of ideas, the kind of ideas you have and I have, they think those are old, antiquated, lame, kind of stupid. They roll their eyes when they talk about you and me behind closed doors. They are there to serve the system and only the system. And remember, we haven't had this discussion in a long time. What are the three things our institutional leaders have in common now? Three things, all of them. This applies to the Mitch McConnells of the world, too. It's not just Dome. It's not just Chuck Schumer. What are the three things? One, they have no love of country. We'll come back to that in a moment, but they have no love of country. I'm not just saying that as some kind of a bumper sticker point. When you think about bad things happening to America, when you look around right now and you look at, maybe it's inflation, maybe it's the border, but maybe it's all these things. Whatever you look at, when you hear a story that's bad for the country, it saddens you, doesn't it? It angers you. It angers me. Makes me sad because you love the country. The people who run our country never feel that way. You see it when they talk, when you find the behind closed doors stuff. They never have a moment where they look at what's happening to our wonderful country and say to themselves, "Oh man, that's too bad." They just don't have that. It's not in them. That's one thing they all have in common. Two, no connection to the real world. And when I say connection to the real world, I'm talking about things like, I don't expect everyone to be poor or even middle class. I realize some people are going to be uber wealthy. Some people are going to be poor. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you are. It's fine. But these are people who simply don't understand what it's like to need extra hours because you need the overtime pay. That's how I grew up. You needed hours. You had to get, if you didn't get to work longer, it was a big deal because you couldn't pay the bills. These people don't even know what that's like. Almost all these people grew up upper middle class and rich, went to fancy schools, and then they just went right into politics or media or something. They don't have any idea what it's like to get paid by the hour. That's just, they don't know what that is. So one, no love of country. Two, no connection to the real world. And three, they see themselves not as senators or congressmen or presidents or CEOs or they see themselves as kings, as queens, as royalty. When they look at our system of government in this country, a limited government system where they're only supposed to be allowed to do a few things. Other than that, government is not supposed to be very powerful here. They're not supposed to have a lot of authority. When they look at that system of government, our constitutional system of government, they despise it. Did you know that? Despise it. Now, if you're a Democrat, at least you have the freedom to be honest about that. Democrats will pretty much wipe their butts with the Constitution right in public, and they get away with it because their base hates the country too. The difference between Democrats and Republicans in leadership like Mitch McConnell is Mitch McConnell has to hug that Constitution in public. He has to love it. Oh, man, our freedoms. But behind closed doors, he's wiping his butt with it right beside Senator Schumer. They share a bathroom stall probably as they wipe their butts with the Constitution. They hate it. They despise it. They can't stand that it limits them? Limits them? How could you limit a king? Why would you limit a king? All these stupid peasants with their freedoms. What do they know about running a country, about running the world? These people are all megalomaniacs, all of them. And so knowing all that, it makes more sense, doesn't it? Why Republicans in leadership, I should point out, the leadership Republicans like Mitch McConnell, it's leaked today, they're talking about raising taxes. That's insane to anyone who's a normal person trying to pay the bills, barely keeping their head above water, trying to make ends meet. The last thing in the world the government should be doing would be bleeding you dry of even more money. What the government should be doing is cutting its spending so we don't drive right off a fiscal cliff. That's just basic common sense. But to someone who sees themselves as a king and to someone without any love of country, the solution is simple. Well, let's just go bleed the people of more money. I'm not going to cut any spending. I'm not going to set aside any of my priorities. The stupid peasants are just going to have to pony up more money. And it tells you how they see themselves, just like a feudal lord somewhere. You know how that used to work? You have an area, and you are essentially the god king of that area. In most feudal systems,
You can do whatever you want to whoever you want. If you're riding through a village that's under your charge, under your command, and you see a cow you like, whoop, that's mine. A woman you like, whoop, she's mine. Oh, wife, mom, don't care. You're coming with me. If you, whatever you want, you get to do whatever you want. And they used to abuse the people all the time. The people would be starving. But the feudal lord would want to throw a big banquet for his friends. And they'd just go raid all the grain houses and take all the food from the peasants so they would starve to death. And you would get to throw a big banquet for you and all your other feudal lord buddies. That is exactly how the people in Washington, D.C. see themselves and how they see you. We are being buried by Washington, D.C. spending and money printing. Buried. We can't, but people, the emails I get are freaking heartbreaking. Jesse, our credit cards are maxed out. I don't know how we're getting through next month. Jesse, I've got to sell my house. Jesse, I had to move back in with my son. Jesse, people are drowning. And in Washington, D.C., Democrats and Republicans in leadership aren't stressed about it even the teeniest, tiniest amount. If they ever have any stress about stuff like that, it's only this. Well, I hope the peasants aren't mad enough to cost me my next election. That's the only thing they ever think about at all. Other than that, you, your grocery bill, your power bill, never crosses their mind ever. Republican leadership, they're currently putting their heads together to raise taxes. Why? McConnell brought in experts from the Commission on National Defense Strategy to discuss the commission's recent report. In the executive summary, the commission claims that increased security spending should be accompanied by additional taxes and reforms to entitlement spending, which, of course, you know, will never happen. So why is it Republicans are raising taxes? Well, I guess it's time to talk about globalism, isn't it? It's time to talk about the defense industry. It's time to talk about the Bank of Ukraine, which it shall be referred to as just that on this show from now on. So let's talk a little bit about globalism. Let's talk about Ukraine. And let's hit you with this. I have a new soundboard item. Sound, it's oh, Chris, don't shake your head. It's glorious. Are you ready to hear from Dome? You're going to hear from Dome on the, it's going on the soundboard, baby. All that and more is still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. Before we do that, let's get your dog taken care of. Meaning, let's get your dog some actual nutrition. If you look it up, you'll see American dogs, they die too early on average. They die earlier than in other parts of the world. Why? We love our dogs. I love Fred. Why are they dying? It's because of the food. You would die early, earlier than you should, if you ate fast food every meal because it's empty calories. There's no nutrition in it. Dog food, that's what it is. It's all brown because it's all dead. There's nothing nutritional in it. I don't care what kind of special blend they put on the front. They kill everything in it in the factory. Did you know that if you give your dog food in the factory, they've tested this before, the dog won't even eat it. Dogs will eat vomit. They won't even eat it. They have to spray it down with lard and things to get dogs to even eat it because it's empty. There's nothing in it. Put Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement. All the nutrition your dog needs. You'll see a difference in your dog and he'll live longer. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, and I can't believe I forgot this. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. The week just flew by. All 3 hours for all you new listeners. All 3 hours on Friday are dedicated to you.
whatever questions you email in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Doesn't even have to be political. Can be. That's fine. Ask me anything. Historical stuff. I don't give a crap what it is. Send in your questions. We'll do the whole show for you tomorrow. jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now, before I get to the Mitch McConnell globalism Ukraine stuff, I'm just too excited. I can't hold back anymore. We have a new soundboard item courtesy of Dome, courtesy of Kamala Harris. You see, Kamala Harris has no personality at all. She has made an entire career of adjusting things to appeal to whoever her new crowd is. She's the ultimate panderer, even for politicians, and politicians pander all the time. She's taken it to a new level. And she's caught all kind of grief for her various accents depending on the crowd she goes into. Remember, Kamala Harris is a valley girl from California. She grew up in a ritzy neighborhood in Canada and then a ritzy neighborhood in California. She's just a valley girl. And there's nothing wrong with growing up in a ritzy neighborhood. Better than getting shot. I mean, you can't get any decent fried chicken, but it's still nothing wrong with it. But you got to own who you are. She busted out a Latina accent last night. Quit shaking your head, Chris. And I'm so in love with this that this is going to be permanently on the soundboard.
I love you back.
I love you back.
I love you back.
I love you, mommy. All right, quit. Focus. I got to focus. Ukraine, McConnell, Democrats. Because they hate you, they don't care about the country. You're just a tax farm to them. They're focused on other things, and those other things are always enriching themselves and gaining power for themselves and adventuring in foreign lands. It's not new. Have you ever read any historical stories about a conqueror who just gathers up an army and goes marching into foreign lands to conquer things? And oftentimes it doesn't really make any sense. It wasn't in self-defense or anything. He just kind of wanted it. It's just, hey, I want it. I'm going to raise an army and I'm going to go take it. Well, this is oftentimes how powerful megalomaniacs think. They are the ones who are the kings. They are the ones in charge. And if I want something, I'll take it. And I don't care how many people I have to kill in order to go get it. Well, remember, that mindset is pervasive in D.C. I lived in D.C. for a year. And one thing that hits you so hard, if you ever spend any decent amount of time there, one thing that hits you so hard is the self-importance of everyone who works in that town. It's not only the senators and congressmen. If you run into somebody at a party on the weekend, maybe you're at a kid's t-ball game, and they happen to work for anyone powerful, they will manage to find a way to tell you about it within the first 30 seconds of meeting them. Hi, I'm Jesse. I'm a menu whisperer. Oh, hi, I'm Merck. I'm Mitch McConnell's chief of staff. Immediately. They'll tell you immediately. And so that brings us to this whole Russia-Ukraine thing. Remember, the defense industry is insanely lucrative. These people make a fortune all the time, especially when there are conflicts going on. They also hand out large quantities of political money to these politicians, so the defense spending will continue without any adjustments at all. In fact, I'm going to ask Chip Roy about this. Chris, when's Chip Roy? Next hour or the last hour? Next hour? Chris, you're allowed to use the microphone so you don't have to make hand signals like it's baseball. Okay, next hour. There we go. Chris, that's not a nice hand signal. Put that finger down. That's not right now. Anyway, next hour, Chip Roy's going to join us. But you know what Chip Roy told me one time about the defense spending part? He said, you know one of the reasons we can't ever cut any spending in Washington, D.C.? He said, because half the GOP caucus believes that we can never cut a dime in defense spending, and any efforts to do that are somehow an affront to national security. So that's the defense spending portion of it. Well, then you have this huge Ukraine-Russia war. The defense industry is making a fortune on it.
And the finance industry is going to make a bigger fortune on it when the thing finally expires, because we've promised, of course, to rebuild. What this means is the Mitch McConnells of the world stand to only gain from this conflict continuing without end. And then once it's over, they'll make even more. That's where we're at. And they don't think about you or the country. They're having a nice little global adventure, passing money around between themselves, and not a care in the world about the fact you can't afford groceries. It's really just a great example of globalism. They don't see themselves as Americans or American leaders. They're all kind of in this together, trying to overcome the will of the stupid peasants like you, like me, like us people who don't know what's best for us. That's how they think. Anyway, I have an author on next, and he's going to talk about murder. I don't know that I've ever had someone like this on the show, but we're going to talk to him in a moment. Matt Murphy is his name. Before I do that, I want to get to this email. Hey, Jesse, I heard you advertising chalk products for male vitality. He mentioned he's been using them around 3 years. Feels great. What specific product does he use to achieve this? I see many products on their website. Okay. Chalk, C-H-O-Q, they sell natural herbal supplements. And I've encouraged you with this before to go see what they have, because they have so many different natural herbal supplements on their website. And they say what it will help you with. So if you're looking for improvement on anything, go pop into chalk.com and see. If you want to know what male vitality stuff is, they have stacks as well. What are stacks? It's multiple different supplements. There are three of them in the male vitality stack. So if you get the male vitality stack, they'll send you all three. Same thing with the female vitality stack. You don't have to get a stack. You can get it any individual thing, but it's the male vitality stack that's going to jack your T levels through the roof and have your mind feeling amazing, your energy feeling great. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and, frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I can't wait to talk about murder now. That's going to be dark crime and being a prosecutor and all things that I'm never qualified. I'll never be qualified for, could never do. But anyway, Matt can. Joining me now, author of a new book, The Book of Murder. What a freaking title, Matt Murphy. Matt, could you please explain what it's like looking at bad guys and trying to throw them in jail?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, you work up to the really serious stuff. You start out as a DA doing misdemeanors and then juvenile court, and they kind of groom you and, you know, work you up to the heavy duty stuff. And, you know, the fascinating thing about a lot of serial killers and serial sex offenders, which were often kind of the same thing, they love to represent themselves. So sometimes you're literally... you're up against the guy. I mean, Ted Bundy did that. I had a guy named Douglas Hopper, who's a serial rapist, who did that. And, of course, I prosecuted Rodney Alcala, the dating game killer, and he did that too. So you literally sometimes have to get to know them on an interpersonal level where you're in there talking to them for months. And it's a fascinating experience, honestly.
Matt, I'm going to ask, honestly, the weirdest hippie question in the world. I swear I'm not burning crystals or something in here, but did you ever, I mean, around monsters like this, serial killers, serial rapists, did you ever just feel evil when you're close to them? Or did they seem almost like normal people, whereas the crimes didn't make sense when you talked to them, when you were around them?
Well, that's the fascinating thing, right? I mean, when I first rotated into homicide, I thought serial killers were going to be like Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs, you know, where they're super creepy and they drive a van and they live in a creepy house on the hill, right? Mm-hmm. And the reality is serial killers tend to be just like the guy in front of you in a Starbucks line and you'd never know. And that's why Jack the Ripper got away with it. That's why... you got guys like, you know, the BTK killer who's active in his church. A lot of these guys, I thought also when I first started doing those cases, I thought that they would all suffer from some horrible childhood trauma that mm-hmm. would somehow rationally explain why they were sadistically raping and murdering everybody. And the truth is even scarier. And the fact is a lot of these guys they're very intelligent, they're handsome, they're charming. And they were never abused as kids. And that's an uncomfortable reality, but it's the truth. If there's one common trait for a lot of them when they're young, in addition to their penchant for killing animals, because they like to do that, is that a lot of them were spoiled as kids. So it is a fascinating thing. But serial killers, you know, I also thought, hey, this is an American phenomenon, and you know, and it's a product of the modern age and the isolation of the individual and blah, blah, blah. It's not at all. It goes back to ancient Rome. There have always been serial killers around, probably farther back than that. But it is a fascinating subject. And you feel it sometimes, like with Alcala. I mean, that guy, he was charming. He was intelligent. You'd never know, but then you open the file and, you know, it was the most sadistic, brutal murders you could possibly imagine. Oh. So it's a fascinating thing. It really is.
My wife is going to nerd out on your book so badly. I guarantee when I get home tonight, she'll be watching some sick freak serial killer documentary or something like that. I don't understand. Okay, so Matt, tell me about this book. Again, we're speaking with author Matt Murphy. He has a new book out. I'm sure you're probably all ordering it right about now. The Book of Murder. What is it? What is it?
So essentially it's a memoir. I spent 17 years in the homicide unit at the Orange County DA's office. I tried some really big, high-profile cases. You know, I was the Orange County prosecutor for the Golden State Killer, although I don't really go into that in the book. I'm saving that for the next one. but I've got essentially you get in and you live and breathe murder cases. So we did murders. I was assigned to the cities of Costa Mesa, Laguna Beach, Newport Beach, and Irvine. So the way Orange County does it, it's a vertical unit. So in other words, we would get the call in the middle of the night. I worked with the same detectives over and over again for those cities. And I did every murder that happened in that jurisdiction for 17 years. And there's a bunch of different kinds. You know, there's my first murder trial was a Russian mob hit in the city of Costa Mesa. Then gang killings. You've got child abuse killings. You've got domestic violence killings. Robberies gone wrong. I think the most fascinating ones are conspiracies to murder people for money. And then, of course, I prosecuted 13 people who satisfied the FBI definition of serial killer. You know, although there's only six of them that really, I think, were the true blue guys. But it was a fascinating experience, and I wanted to I had stories to tell from doing that. And I've personally walked about 100 crime scenes where I've gone out in the middle of the night with my investigator right after the murder happens. And I sort of share some of those thoughts with the reader, like what goes through your mind when you walk into a murder scene and it's your responsibility to figure out, you know, when there's enough evidence to charge, who to charge, what charges to file. And I walk the reader through that process, and I share about a dozen of my big high profile cases. I had a Dirty John. That was one of mine. I had the dating game killer, Rodney Alcala. I also did Skyler De Leon. He's the one that murdered that poor couple, Tom and Jackie Hawks, on their yacht in Newport. And I kind of gave the readers a behind the scenes account of a bunch of those cases. And I poured my heart and soul into it. And I really hope people like it.
Does it affect you? I asked the question because I know a bunch of cops, and homicide cops in particular, homicide cops and people who deal with, you know, domestic abuse situation, but homicide cops, the things they see, you know, you walk through that much death and darkness, and it's not even a car accident. Not that's easy, but someone killed someone else, and they all dealt with it in different ways. Some of them unhealthy ways, too much drinking. Some of them buried it. But does it affect you? Did it affect you? Does it still affect you?
Yeah, it absolutely affects you in some positive and some negative ways, but oftentimes not in the way that a lot of people think. You know, I've seen things that you can't imagine, and I mean they're too graphic even to describe here. But where it really stresses you out is when you go to a crime scene and you see some innocent person that's been murdered, whether they're in a ditch or in their living room or on the autopsy table, wherever it is, and then you meet with their families, especially, you know, you feel sorry for any of their loved ones, but for some reason, the moms always got to me, you know, the moms, you know, and you, because Orange County does it that way, where you're in at the ground level, literally the night of the murder, you're there, and you meet with these family members. You understand the profound responsibility that you have. As a prosecutor, you have to make sure that the constitutional rights of any defendant are scrupulously adhered to. That's a part of the job. We want it to be that way. But boy, what kept me up at night was the idea of failing when I'm trying to bring justice to one of those poor families. And that's what stresses you out. That's what keeps you up. And you always wonder, have I done enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? And you wake up a lot in the middle of the night, especially when you're in trial. And fortunately, I worked with some of the most talented, dedicated people. And I'm biased, but I think we had the best. I think I had the best team out there in the world. And you know, we had a very successful run, fortunately. And we got, I tried 52 cases, 52 jury trials during my 17 years in the homicide unit. And we had a lot of success doing that. And I'm just profoundly grateful for all those people behind the scenes that made me look good when I got into court. But it was definitely affects you. It impacts relationships a lot, at least for me it did. You know, you get a lot of call outs, holidays and birthdays. And, you know, for some reason, people love to murder each other during the holidays. And you know, you got to go. And it's taxing on relationships. But it was, you know, I still miss it every day. And if I had it to do all over again, I wouldn't have changed a thing.
That's freaking awesome. He is Matt Murphy. His book is called The Book of Murder. Go order it, Matt. My parting shot to you would be you really need to start a podcast with stories like that and with a voice like that. You might find yourself having a really big one. I am officially a fan, and I'll be buying it. Matt Murphy, The Book of Murder. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you so much.
That's intense. Totally different for us. We don't do that kind of thing. It's cool, though. Speaking of murder, let's talk about abortion. Let's talk about it. Yeah, I got this email. I love this. This is, I love this. The subject is robbing the libs. Dear son of Don, that's my dad's name, Don. I own a small business, and recently I met with two different liberal women, both with commie signage on their properties. I elevated both estimates by $500 each. Both jobs went off without a hitch, and their checks cleared the bank. This evening, I'm cutting a check for $1,000 to preborn. I plan to continue this journey of using my business to overcharge commies and use the extra money to support life. I am the Robin Hood of the unborn. Gosh, I love this guy. Go save a life. You don't have to give $1,000. You can give $1 million. I don't care. It's tax deductible. You want a big fat tax deduction while saving a life? Preborn gives ultrasounds to women who are about to have an abortion. You pay for it. Save a life tonight. $28 buys that ultrasound. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Get your questions emailed in right now. Don't wait. They're already stacking up on me. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. It's going to be a real good time. Let's check back in with Dom.
I love you back.
Speaking of Dom, I have to play this. They love this line. This line is not unique to her. Many, many, many Democrats have said this publicly. They mean something by this.
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
Okay. Pretty profound stuff. Don't dismiss that, though, as standard airhead dome. What's she talking about?
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
You know, oftentimes people who are normal and decent like you, they can be confused by evil and how evil works and how evil thinks. Have you ever found yourself saying or have you heard somebody say to you before, I don't understand why they can't just leave the kids alone when it comes to all the rainbow filth in schools and the child drag stuff. Why did they have to take over Nickelodeon, the TV channel? Why did they have to take over Disney and gay the whole thing up? Why can't they just leave the kids alone? Why can't they leave kids alone? Have you ever thought that? Well, you should understand. Children are the last thing they would leave alone. Children are their highest priority because children are the most innocent and pure among us. So if you're not an evil person, you don't understand that mentality. You can't because you're not a demon like these people are. When these people look at your children, oh, you have it, Chris? Oh, yeah. So there's a show. This is Nickelodeon, right, Chris? I think it is. Blue's Clues. I know the name of the show. It's a huge children's program. Why? Why couldn't they just leave all the rainbow filth on, I don't know, ABC? Why'd they have to do this?
Hey, Blue, look at all these families.
Hi, families.
It's time for a pride parade.
Families marching one by one. Hurrah, hurrah. Families marching one by one, hurrah, hurrah.
Okay, Chris, I've got it. Hey, kids, it's Pride Parade time. Woo!
Why are you gay?
Why? Because children are innocent and pure. And if you can grab the kids and break them from their parents, they will grow to be loyal communist foot soldiers for their entire life. You look at someone else's children, your neighbor's kids, kids in a restaurant, something, and it would never, ever occur to you to pull that child aside and say, hey, kids, listen, I know your parents, they taught you to don't chew with your mouth open. And I'm here to tell you, chew with your mouth open. Mom and dad are stupid, and you should chew with your mouth open. It would never occur to you to grab a child and say that to them. You must understand, though, it would never occur to them to not do that. When they look at your children, they are desperate to shatter them, to break them away from you. Not only because the kids are innocent, that's the main reason, but because they're desperate to shatter the American family. In any society, ours included, but any society, historically, the nuclear family unit, moms, dads, children, they are the bedrock of every single society. If you have a society of happy, healthy, stable homes with a nuclear family intact, not that that's going to work out for everyone. Maybe it didn't work out for you. I'm certainly not passing judgment. But as a society, if that's what your society has, a bunch of strong nuclear families, then the society itself will be strong. And why? Why is that? Well, remember, we were created, men and women are supposed to fit together. And they're meant to be together. And children need a mom and a dad. That's part of how they're built. They need both things. And again, I'm not passing any judgment. Maybe your home blew up on you. It freaking happens. Life is ugly and messy. But if children have those things, stable family, loving mom, loving father, children will grow up to be stable, happy, healthy. Well, a stable, happy, healthy human being would never choose communism. That doesn't happen. Communism is for the miserable. It's for the bitter. It's for the malcontents. I hate men. That's who it's for. So if you can shatter a child emotionally, spiritually, if you can break a child away from their parents, you are almost guaranteeing for yourself a future foot soldier who will march on your behalf. They love this line. Kamala Harris is not near the first one to use this line.
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
Joe Biden has said things like that. The children belong to all of us. All these commie pundits on TV, they're all of our children. The children belong to the entire village. And what are they actually saying? Are they saying they want to actually help care for your child, provide for your child, nurture your child? No, what they're saying is, your kids don't belong to you. Because I'm a vile communist demon, I want your children to belong to me so I can eat them. That's how these people think. It's way, way sick. And it's not unique to our communists. Lenin talked about, give me 4 years educating the masses. I'm paraphrasing. Give me 4 years educating the masses of children, and I'll create a socialist country forever. They knew that the earliest communists knew, because they were demons too. They knew they had to get the kids, break the family, and then you're set. All right? All right. We have, I want to get to some of this assassination stuff, Secret Service stuff. Before I get to that, I want to talk to you about pain. Daily, nagging, life-sucking pain. It's what it is. It's life-sucking. When that knee bothers you all the time, it just, you don't want to fly. You don't want to travel. You don't want to do things. When your back bothers you, basic things, getting out of your chair. If you sit down in your chair and left your water sitting on the counter, it sucks, doesn't it? You sit down and go, oh, because you got to get up again. It hurts. You shouldn't have to live like that. Try Relief Factor. Try Relief Factor. It's natural, 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors. It uses your body's natural response to inflammation. Give your body the help it needs to take care of that pain. Try it for 3 weeks. All I'm asking is 3 weeks. If your pain is still there after 3 weeks, don't ever order it again. There's a reason almost everyone calls and orders it again. 3 weeks is $19.95. That's what a 3 week quick start kit costs. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. Let's do some of this assassination talk next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.